those who are experienced government contractors have dealt with socioeconomic programs being implemented and put into play on government contracts, and so they're very used to these kinds of activities. And quite frankly, if our customer wants to promote a particular policy, and we have to take steps to make sure that we're complying with the policy, and the government's expressing an interest to do this and pay for our actions to comply, we think that's within the prerogative of what our customers would like to do. And so I think trust is high, and I've been serving contractors both in and out of the government for about 30 years, and I think that the majority of the programs get completed very well as a result of a very collaborative and cooperative interaction between the contractors and their customers.
I get picked on, I guess, more than just about any other person, folks in my line of work, because folks on both the contractor side and the government side point out what you just pointed out, Tom, and that is the overwhelming majority, into the 90% and more, of contracts get executed properly and get executed well, and that doesn't ever seem to make headlines. Is that successful completion rate and that reliance that government customers feel what drives that trust, do you think, Tom?
I think so, and if the government needs work to be performed by a contractor, it's because they don't have the ability within the government to do that work, and so there's a need. And generally, once you compete for a contract and award and are awarded the contract, the government and the contractor become a team, if you will, or they're on the same side of meeting that need or getting that need fulfilled. And I think the success rate is so high that we do see in the news the aberrations where the contract performance doesn't work, where it's over schedule, over budget, and that becomes news. And I think the contrast, or the reason it's such of a big news story, is because there are many, many more programs that are done successfully on budget, on schedule, and so that doesn't become news. That's not something that's what's expected, and that's the norm.
The trust concept in government, there's a sense at least that that concept has eroded over the years with some of the larger stories, as you mentioned, that are not success stories. Is it your sense that at least the clients that you deal with and their cohorts in the contracting community are able to overcome that and are able to move past that in their relationships with federal government customers?
I think if there is a sense that a government is over-inspecting or is enforcing rules more sternly with one company over another company, I think that the business solution would be to get behind get the reasons behind the treatment so that they can be solved. Quite frankly, when you bid a project and you've got a timeline to complete the project and limited amount of funds, and you're undertaking actions to make sure that you're compliant with all the things that the government's interested in, you must ensure that you have good, effective cooperation and communication so the successful contractor and the successful government program manager or contracting officer, they can't waste time. They've got to get after, any of those kinds of problems and get them solved quickly. And that's what I see happens in the vast majority of cases.
You mentioned the willingness of the government to pay for any work that's required to make sure that contractors are complying with the Equal Pay Executive Order. Is that the key element of it, that the government is willing to make sure that the contractors themselves don't have to bear any extra costs to meet with not just this one, but any other kinds of new regulations or requirements that they might submit?
I think that is the key. And last year there was new legislation in terms of hiring disabled veterans, hiring other minorities, and quite frankly, that rule requires a contractor to take notice and make sure that they're checking their hiring practice and checking their pay practices to make sure that they're complying with the Service Contract Act or the Fair Labor Standards Act or the new executive order concerning compensation. those become allowable costs, or those costs to perform the contract can be reimbursed by the government. And so although the government is demanding, in one sense, that there be compliance to these rules, on the other hand, they're willing to pay for that compliance. And so that does impact the cost of the contract, but it's one that is where that cost is shared. The government may have to cut back on some of their requirements, and the contractor is going to have to pay its employees maybe a little bit more. But that's, in my experience, been the norm for many years. And the rules will change again. I mean, it's not unexpected for these things to happen and these rules to be enforced. So. I think it's fair to say that the government, when they enact these policies, understand that there's going to be a cost and they're going to have to bear some of that cost.
Tom Mason of Cooley is my guest as part of our conversation this week on trust in the federal government business space. Do you think that that level of collaboration and dialogue between the vendor and the customer, or between the potential vendor and customer, is trending in the right direction, or is it becoming less common and less robust than it used to be?
From a business perspective, I think it's about the same. And it's picked up a little bit and improved a little bit when the government started to move more towards commercial type contracts and inviting companies to do business with the government where they were selling commercial products to private customers to bring them public, and they would be able to sell the same commercial product to the same, you know, and use their same commercial practices with a few minor exceptions. And so it picked up, I think, when that initiative began and started to take hold. I think where it gets where the collaboration begins to decline is where the staffing in the government is not sufficient to keep up with all the contracts that have been, you know, being awarded and performed. And I think there where you have a lacking of government trained folks, or you have a lacking of enough people to administer the contracts, that's where I think that you'll see contractors say that they wish they had more opportunity to communicate with their customer.
Are there other areas where your clients tell you, hey, in an ideal world, we would love to see the government be able to do X, or we would love to see the government be able to let us do Y, that would facilitate the relationship between the vendor and the agency?
I think that in every procurement, there's always some discussion about the contractors would like a different type of contract, whether it's firm fixed price, cost reimbursement, whatever the case would be. I often hear comments where the contractor thinks that they could do a better job with respect to the project at issue if they had a different type of contract. And these are things that can be communicated to the government, and they often are, but the government has the last word in terms of the type of contract and the way the acquisition is going to be managed. But if there's an area that I hear more comments than not, it's probably in that area where contractors happy to perform what the government's seeking, but they think that there, you know, could be a better choice of contract type, a better tool for contracts management and administration. And so I do hear comments from time to time in that area, in those areas.
Any thoughts or suggestions about how companies can facilitate that or be more involved, more proactive in that on the back end, so that they might get the result that they would like on the front end?
Well, we try to get our clients to think of the government as, you know, holistically federal, U.S. federal, foreign countries, our governments as our state and local buying agencies. And so at the federal level, we try to get our clients to think in terms of having two or three entry points into government business. And by doing that, they can and having different types of contracts. For instance, they get contracts that they bid on and compete with others. There's multiple award schedule contracts where they can be pre-approved to sell products to a government buyer. Typically, the government buyer will make two or three phone calls, depending on the agency, and then different companies that have been awarded these contracts can bid on them. And just because you've got those extra portals, you get a chance to communicate. You get a chance to understand what the government's needs are, what its op tempo is, how often are they going to reorder. And that helps with communication. And the other thing I think is that successful contractors all have very strong compliance programs. And particularly in the areas of where a company can be charged with submitting a false claim or be charged with other types of inaccurate record keeping or record keeping that's not compliant. I think if you have a very strong compliance program and good communication within the company with all the employees, that you're going to be way, way far ahead of those who don't have that, because you're going to be able to avoid the pitfalls associated with whistleblowers or the pitfalls associated with noncompliance or with adverse findings on audits and things like that, to give you the wrong kind of opportunity to communicate with the government, or it's not the healthy business development type of communication that you get when you're performing a contract well on schedule and on budget.